Agencies face threats from all sides now, not just outside hackers posing the threat. Internal threats can be just as devastating, if not more so. So what can agencies do to reduce the dangers from internal threats like data loss? Joining us in studio with analysis, Rodney Jaffe, the Senior Vice President and Senior Technologist at Neustar. And Mr. Jaffe, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Morning.
And what we're talking about, of course, we're hanging all this on the issue of WikiLeaks, but I'd like to know about some of the big insider threats. Is it something like WikiLeaks where people are sharing things they shouldn't be sharing?
Well, in reality, it's almost always a human problem. And that's one of the things that was really borne out by WikiLeaks. It was a human that leaked the data, not the systems. So it is a real issue, still continues to be, and there are things that people can do.
And what are some of those?
Well, the first thing, obviously, is to choose the obvious one. Choose your employees carefully. Mm-hmm. Things like background checks, training on the impact of losses. One of the best things that managers can do is to get employees to understand what the real impact is when you lose. The second thing is to make sure that when you have security processes in place, and let's assume that in a well-run business or a well-run department, you have training in place. Make sure that you pound the impact into employees and you make sure they comply. One of the things that I see most often going through a business is that after a certain amount of time, because of the inconvenience, employees will start to take shortcuts and managers will allow it. Don't lock your computer when you walk away from the desk. Leave data in folders that are not protected because it's inconvenient. The problem is that that's all that it needs to be able to actually have an employee who doesn't normally have access to data to actually get that access and then obviously exfiltrate the data.
Are there ever any concerns about an employee who has gone through the vetting process and seems to be not a security risk that, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road might become disgruntled and become a security risk? Is that an issue?
It's always an issue. Yeah, you have a look at some of the sleeper, we've had some issues. For example, remember the Russian spy group in New York,
okay,
20 years. People were sitting in place. That absolutely happens. You can have the best background checks in the world. Things are going to happen. So you really have to start from the point of view that with everything in place, if you follow all the rules, all the regulations, and all the best practices, you will still have leaks. What you really need to do as a manager is once you accept the fact that one day you will have a leak, you want to make sure you have processes in place to detect the leaks and to mitigate the damage as soon as possible.
We're speaking with Rodney Jaffe, Senior Vice President and Senior Technologist at Neustar. And I wanted to ask you about that because agencies, especially DHS, for example, with their Einstein project, have been concentrating on perimeter protection, keeping outside hackers and so forth at bay. But have they not given enough attention to the insider threat? Aren't there tools you can deploy that can detect if someone is downloading something or that can tell you when insiders are at work?
So parts of Einstein, not the earlier or the soon to be deployed parts of it, but later on is going to be the objective to detect exfiltration of data. But remember that one of the ways that we believe data was exfiltrated during WikiLeaks was on thumb drives that were physically walked out of the premises, and I'm yet to see in any of the meetings that I go to where employees who are trusted employees actually get checked for taking equipment or data out of premises. You can do that. So even though you may have systems internally that detect leaks that go out from a network point of view, you really have to take care of the physical side of it and the human side of it, and I don't know how you do that.
Well, can you disable USB ports, or can you make data so that it can't be copied or written?
You can do all of those things. The problem that you run into is that it becomes very difficult to conduct your normal business. So there's always this trade-off between convenience and security, and that's something we've lived with for years.
Yeah, I was going to ask. That's what it sounds like. You're balancing on this high wire between how you are able to do your job efficiently and at the same time make sure your data remains secure because we're in this digital age where everything is so portable.
It's a real issue. I mean, it is a real issue. you can walk out now with thumb drives that are sort of so small you don't even realize they're thumb drives. All they look like are the four little pieces of metal.
Yeah.
And you just never notice it. Someone can put it in a shoe or a pocket or actually have it on a key ring because many of them are made to look like things that you'd have on a key ring. So one of the things you really have to think of it as a manager is being able to protect the data itself on a need-to-know basis. I mean, we laugh about that in the classified world, it's need-to-know. But that's really very important. Most things are not – most data is easily identifiable in terms of who should be aware of it. So restrict who knows about it, restrict who has access to it, and make sure that you keep it like that.
And do you think that the rise of information-sharing environments that so many agencies are building has made the problem worse? Because it's people outside of your agency are looking at your data because it's somewhere in an environment where everyone can share.
I don't think it's worse. I think it's new. This whole issue around cloud computing is an entirely different can of worms because the push now in the federal sector is to move data into the cloud. And all of a sudden, you now have to rely on someone else being able to protect the perimeter.
Well, I wasn't referring so much to cloud as just simply information sharing for the purposes of, say, national security, where maybe everyone's contributing to some central database that multiple agencies can access, including you, Agency A. You put in material that Agency B, C, and D can now look at.
So very clearly you are sharing it with more people, but once again you get to the same issue, which is, you know, need to know. People generally don't need to know everything about everything. But very often, you know, you'll find that people have access to data that they just shouldn't. So this whole issue of being able to share between agencies, really important from a security point of view, but a real challenge.
So it sounds like the technical issues can be dealt with technology, but the human issues of the insider threat really take human engineering from the way you're describing it.
It's absolutely a human issue, and I don't know how you get computers or systems or processes to stop humans from actually leaking data, sometimes inadvertently.
Yeah, I was going to ask if there is any answer. I mean, I guess whoever solves this problem is going to be a very wealthy, very popular person.
It's certainly been a problem for thousands of years, this whole issue of leaking of data. And it's all been, you know, obviously in the early times it was people. People didn't leak stone tablets. That wasn't an issue.
Yeah.
But data actually leaked. You certainly have the problem now. One of the things that you should be aware of is that if you make the assumption that you are going to have data leakage, you want to be able to have monitoring in the outside world to tell you very early on that it's occurred. Assume you're going to lose some data.
Well, what do you mean?
So what you want to, so if we think about something, for example, like Stuxnet.
Okay.
So the whole thing behind Stuxnet, I don't know if you remember, but Stuxnet was discovered almost a year, it truly discovered or identified almost a year after the problem occurred. And the way it was discovered was because of a digital certificate that was a one-year certificate that had expired. Had it not been for that, we probably would never have understood what the issue was. And it wasn't discovered in the Iranian nuclear facilities. It wasn't discovered at Siemens. It was really discovered by an engineer who was looking at a certificate out in the world and said, why did the certificate on this system expire overnight? Mm-hmm. Started looking at that. I mean, these are things we refer to sometimes as black swans. You heard of the black swan theory. If you remember in 1987, Cliff Stahl, who wrote a book, The Cuckoo's Egg, wonderful book. If your listeners haven't read that book, it's really one of the first times where we had data leakage, where there was a real issue going on, but it was identified through a 75-cent discrepancy in an accounting system that Cliff Stahl, who is an astrophysicist, actually started tracking down.
Huh.
And it turned out to be one of the first cases where we actually saw the internet being used for industrial espionage. But it was tracing a piece of data that occurred just in a random place that under normal circumstances you would have missed. Don't miss the telltale signs. We have social media today. One of the things you've got to be aware of, obviously, is that you have to have a buyer for the data. So hang around or monitor the places that buyers would be, because if someone wants to sell data, they're going to sell it in the right place. They're not going to advertise it in the New York Times. They're going to advertise it somewhere in the underground economy,
yeah,
or somewhere in one of the social media networks. If you monitor the odd places that people don't think about in the, you know, unless you're actually looking to sell stolen data. If you monitor those places, you'll be able to see very early on, and maybe you can stop it.